Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text from the Gospel reading. About the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, I am. Do not be afraid. This is our text. Immediately before sending the disciples in the boat across the Sea of Galilee was the feeding of the 5,000 in Israel. We heard about this last Sunday. Jesus fed them with 5 loaves and 2 fish, not just a miracle of his power, but a miracle of his great compassion for sheep that were without a shepherd. We were told that everyone ate and was satisfied. Jesus sent the disciples then in the boat across the sea, and he remained behind to give his benediction, to dismiss the crowds. You might recall that this is the second time that the disciples are in the Sea of Galilee in a storm in the Gospel of Mark. Both times, Jesus is the one who sends them into the boat. He sends them off going. But the first time in Mark 4 was different because Jesus was actually there with them. We're told that he was asleep in the stern. This time, he's more distant. He's not in the boat. He's not even near the shore any longer. He's nowhere to be seen. He's gone up on a mountain to pray by himself. It's interesting when you read in the Gospels about Jesus praying. For whom does Jesus pray? Throughout his ministry, he carries on a conversation with the Father in heaven, the one from whom all fathers are named. What are they speaking about? Well, we see glimpses in a few places in the Gospels. Jesus is speaking with his Father about his identity, about his mission as the incarnate Son of God. He discusses with the Father all that he came to do for us and for our salvation. Which means it's not like Jesus sent the disciples out on the boat and then he's off doing something else not related. Jesus clearly is praying on the mountain for his disciples. He hasn't forgotten about them. His eye isn't off of them. He's not ignorant of what they're up against or where they are. He knows their needs. And that's why he's praying for them. I think it's so important for us to remember this, because there are times for us when it feels like Jesus is far away, when it feels like perhaps he's not listening or he doesn't care. And yet when we consider him here, it is precisely because he cares that he is there praying for them. And our dear Lord, though not on a mountain now, it's not like he's up on Wachusett, where is he? He is ascended on high at the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing there? He is interceding. He is praying for you and for me. So the picture is this. Jesus has gone up to pray, and the disciples are in the boat, and evening comes with the boat bobbing up and down on the water. It's out to sea a good ways, maybe 3 or 4 miles, which would have been about halfway across the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus is back there alone on the land, separated from his disciples by space. But notice what it says. He saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. Here we're not given the perspective of the disciples. We're given a perspective from beyond, from outside the boat, from up on the mountain. We don't know what their reaction was like when they were making headway painfully. We don't know if they were afraid again that they would perish. We don't know if the waves were swamping them. What we do know is this. Jesus saw them. What a beautiful statement. Jesus, while he is at prayer, he sees the disciples and he knows what they're going through. He sees that the wind is against them and that they are making headway painfully. It seems to me that that could be a description oftentimes for our lives as well. They were making headway painfully, and the wind was against them. Isn't that how it so often seems? Not with the wind at our backs carrying us along, but the wind driving against our faces, pushing back at us. And it is hard. And life is a challenge. It is difficult. But Jesus saw. He saw then, and he sees you. He knows when the wind is against you. He knows when you find that you are making headway painfully. The disciples may have been wondering, though, what they were doing there, remembering that Jesus is the one who sent them into the boat. And just a reminder here, Jesus often asks the disciples to do things that are difficult or even impossible. The feeding of the 5,000, when they came to him and said, you know, it's getting late, and they're getting pretty hungry. Why don't you just send the people away? And Jesus said, do you remember what he said? You give them something to eat. Here he sends them out on what likewise might seem to be an impossible journey across the Sea of Galilee in the face of the wind. Impossible for them, of course, it is. They cannot feed 5,000 people, not even with 5 loaves and 2 fish. There are times when the storms are so great and the headway is so strong that they cannot make it across by themselves. And I don't think Jesus' intention in every challenge that they face is for them to dig deeper inside of themselves and figure it out. What is Jesus teaching them? What is he teaching us? What are we learning in this moment as we wonder how we will make it through when we can't see Jesus with us in the boat and the wind is against us? But the same thing we learn week after week, to come back to him and to trust in him and to rely upon him. Now, this is the 4th watch of the night, just prior to dawn. I think that's such a lovely picture. The dawn is close at hand. Even when they've been working so tirelessly through all the night, the dawn is about to break. But not just the dawn of a new day, the dawn of the Son of God coming to them across the waves. And so Jesus comes. He sees them. He comes walking on the water, walking on the sea. And we can't help but hear echoes from the creation. In the beginning, when God created everything, the Spirit was hovering over the waters. Or think of Job, who, when he declares the power and majesty of God as creator, said that he alone is the one who stretched out the heavens and trampled on the waves of the sea. He and no one else entered into the springs of the deep and walked in the recesses of the deep, trampling on the waves of the sea. That's what Jesus was doing. Or you can think back to the reading from Genesis that we heard, when God put that bow in the sky, the rainbow, a reminder of his promise to act in mercy and to be gracious. When it says that God will look at the rainbow and remember, it does not mean that he's going to forget. It means that he's going to remember and act in mercy, for he would never again send a worldwide flood upon the earth. Jesus came to them, walking on the sea, and it says he meant to pass by them. He meant to pass by them. Isn't that one of the most curious lines in the scriptures? Here he is, the exact thing you would hope is happening, and Jesus is coming to them on the water, and he means to just go on past. It's jarring. It's strange. Why would he do that? Well, our immediate reaction might be that he was going to pass by ignoring them. That's not what it's saying here. He's going to pass by them to reveal himself. You have to remember a couple of Old Testament passages here. Thinking back to the book of Exodus, when God, the Lord, revealed himself to Moses, God said to Moses, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. And then the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. When the Lord passed by Moses, it was not to ignore him, but it was to reveal himself to Moses as the God who is gracious and merciful and full of steadfast love. And if the disciples would have remembered it when they saw him passing by, they would have said, the Lord, a God gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. For this is the character of your God. This is what defines who he is. The great I am, Yahweh the Lord. He is the gracious one. He is the one full of steadfast love and mercy, who passes by not to leave them, but who passes by to strengthen them. Another passage from the Old Testament that it calls to mind is the prophet Elijah. You may remember that time when Elijah thought that he was the last prophet on earth. And he ran off away because the king was out to kill him. And he runs to the mountain of Horeb. And he goes there and he basically prays, Lord, I'm done. I've had it. Just kill me now. And the Lord comes to him when he is despairing of his life. And he says, go and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, strengthened him, gave him courage to face what was ahead, so that no longer did Elijah have to give up his life in despair, but rather he could go forth and speak the word of God in strength. So here's the thing. He meant to pass by them is not an ignore them, but a show himself to them, to reveal himself as the great I am, the Lord of creation. So if it ever feels like the Lord means to pass by you, take that not as a judgment or a problem, but as a blessing that he is coming near to strengthen you. But they didn't get it. They had forgotten the scriptures. They'd forgotten Exodus and 1 Kings and all the other passages that speak about the Lord's merciful nature. Out on the sea, they weren't looking for Jesus. They weren't praying for him to come near. They were simply making headway, painfully busy with the task, and they had no reason whatever to expect Jesus to be there. And then they saw him, and they were afraid. They thought he was a ghost, and they cried out in terror. Some of us maybe have had this experience where we were not expecting to meet God. We were not expecting to find him. We were not looking for him in any way. But then he came to us. And I don't mean in some mystical, magical way, but he came to us through his word. And suddenly we met him again when we weren't expecting. Maybe it terrified us as we realized who this is. There's a sense, of course, in which the disciples were right to cry out. Not because Jesus was a ghost. He never was a ghost and never will be a ghost. Far from it. But because he is more than a mere man. This is not just a mortal man walking on the sea. You and I can't do this. He can do it because he is not only true man, but he is also true God. And that is when he stops passing by and he simply turns into the boat and comes to them and says to them, speaks amid that chaos and amid that terror, he speaks, he says, take heart, I am. Don't be afraid. Such precious words amid the chaos and terror of their world. Such precious words as they face into the wind and are making headway painfully. He gets in the boat. The wind ceases. They are astounded. Their hardened hearts are being softened. They who didn't understand about the loaves, they still didn't get it, are starting to get it a little bit better. Do they get it fully? No. Are all the pieces connected in their minds? No. And thanks be to God for that, because I don't know about you, but for myself, I think I can say, I'm not sure I fully get it yet either. But every Sunday, more of the pieces are connecting as the Lord comes and meets me and you here with his grace and mercy. We can reflect a little bit thinking about the disciples here, their own lack of comprehension and the hardness of their hearts. And we can ask ourselves, where am I lacking understanding? Where am I one who has a hardness of heart? Where am I one who doesn't understand about the loaves or even about the walking on water? Maybe we've been looking for Jesus and not seeing him. The world is broken after all, and we want God to make things right. Maybe we fear that he's gone or absent or not real. Or maybe we haven't been looking for Jesus, and here he comes. Here he comes amid the chaos and the terror and the struggles of life. And he speaks his word to us again. Take heart. I am. Don't be afraid. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the Jesus who is not far away, who is not simply high and alone somewhere where you cannot know him or hear him. This is the Jesus who meant to pass by, but instead has stopped to be with you here in his holy word and in his holy sacraments. There was another time that comes to mind with some of the disciples and the women when they came actually this time looking for Jesus, expecting to find him, and were surprised, even perhaps terrified. They came to the tomb early on Sunday morning. The fourth watch of the night, they set out and they got to the tomb at dawn, and they were looking for Jesus, looking for the crucified, dead, and buried Jesus. They were expecting to find him where they laid him, but they didn't find him there. He wasn't dead. He wasn't in the tomb. He is risen. And they met the unexpected sight of that empty grave and an angel who said, "Don't be afraid. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said." Or the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, just walking along, not expecting to meet Jesus there, hearing from this stranger about the scriptures and the Messiah and everything the Messiah came to do, and Jesus acted like he was going farther, and they invited him in. "Abide with us. Stay with us, Lord." And he does. He came to them. He sat with them at the table. He broke the bread with them. And they saw, "It is the Lord. Take heart. Don't be afraid. I am." This is what Jesus says to you today. For he is at the right hand of the Father, praying for you, and he is at the same time here, coming to meet you. He sees, he comes, he knows. Perhaps not always in the way that we are expecting, but always in the way that he has promised. As the Lord, a God gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love for you. He sees and he comes, even to the bread and the wine, saying, "This is my body, this is my blood. Take heart, sins forgiven, life received. Don't be afraid. I am your Lord." In Jesus' name, amen.